And I want you to get your Bibles out. And I want to preach to you a message this morning, and it's tying in with what I was on last week, because I have been talking to y'all about what you have power to be. You have the power to become sons of God. You have the power to make sons of God. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. You have the power to say no over your emotions and your craziness in life. Not that any of us have that, but you just need to know that. You have the power to do good. Amen? You have the power in life to learn, okay? You have the power in life that I was talking about last week to be a giver. And I know that most of y'all in here, you know me and you know my heart. I'm not preaching a message because I'm trying to get something from you. I'm trying to preach a message to you so that I can deposit something in your life, a principle of God's word, okay? And if I'm trying to deposit that principle of God's word in your life, I'm doing it because I know you're going to be blessed. I know it's going to help you. Just like if you're dealing with unforgiveness and God's principle is, you know, forgive and then you're free. If you're dealing with guilt, he says repent, right? God has a principle for it. You're dealing with guilt, repent, be washed in his blood, and then you're healed, right? God has principles that work. When you apply God's principles, they work. Sometimes we don't want to apply God's principles. For instance, it says, love your enemies, do good to them. We don't want to love our enemies. Y'all with me? You don't want to love your enemies. I'm sorry. Naturally, natural man does not want to love his enemies. Natural man wants to exact revenge upon his enemies. Y'all with me? It takes the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God on the inside of us and learning that God has the principles. He says if you do good to your enemies, then God will heap burning coals upon their head. Y'all with me? And so God's principles work, just like the principle of gravity. You drop it, it's going to fall because gravity works. God's principles work. The first thing I was trying to teach y'all last week about this is that God, his whole nature. If you're going to walk in the power of prosperity, you have to understand God's nature is a nature of giving. Y'all with me? God's nature is a nature of giving. He gave his only son. When you're looking at something saying, I wonder if that's God or not. Well, ask yourself the question, is it good? Is it bearing fruit? Is it giving? Is it adding? Is it multiplying? And if it's not, then you know what? It isn't God. Because that's God's nature. God's nature is a giving nature. It's not a taking nature. Y'all with me? That's how you can just look at things, anything, and say, is that God or not? All right. So we talked about this last week. We talked some scriptures about the very first thing that you're going to have to understand is the nature of God, that God is a giver. Then the second thing we're going to go this morning, and I could probably preach on almost any other topic in the Bible and probably get less resistance. But I know I'm right. I don't mind standing here this morning and telling you I know I'm right because I apply it to my own life, okay? And that is the principle of tithing. Okay, you say, well, how's that going to help me? Listen to me. How many of y'all have to have money to live? Have any of y'all found out how to live without money? Because if you have, please tell me because I'd like to try it. No matter what, you need finances. Finances is a part of life. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting sick and tired of every commercial, everything on the internet, of everything that's on television, talking about, it looks like everything's going to crash, or it looks like this is going to happen, or you need to buy gold. No, you need to buy silver. No, you need to, you know, invest in this. No, you need to invest in that. You know, and before long, you don't know what to do. And most of us are just common folks. We don't know anything about any of that kind of stuff. And you know, I'll be honest with you. This is probably bad to go over the internet and say this. I just buy more guns and shells. I don't know what to do. Just buy another box of shells. I'm sorry. I'm not a financial guru. I'm not an expert. I don't know what to do, okay? But there's one thing I can tell you this morning, and I can preach to you, and I can look you straight in the face, and I am not, because I know my heart in this situation. You just have to love me. Is I got to teach y'all and to explain to y'all the principle of tithing, because I know tithing works. My wife and I came. Listen to me. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. But somewhere I lost it. Okay? I was born into a great deal, but I went broke. I lost everything. I know what it's like to have nothing. I know it's not like, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, they may be wealthy, like you see, you know, celebrities and all, oh, we went bankrupt. Well, that is just in one bank account. I didn't have multiple. I was broke. I was absolutely 100% broke. I remember hanging on to $7 thinking it was everything that we, well, it was everything we had in life. But what I mean is it was going to really change. It was a game changer, $7. So I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to suffer through finances. I know what it's like to go through these troubled times in the world right now where there's ups and downs and what about this and what about the economy here and what about the economy there. And I know what there's needs and I know that, you know, grocery prices going up and electricity prices going up. And we live in a rural area where we struggle and that a lot of us are entrepreneurs. We're you know, independent people and you're going from job to job and sometimes paycheck to paycheck trying to make ends meet. And I just want to tell y'all, God has a principle and the principle is called tithing and it'll bring victory into your life. Now listen to me. I'm going to go through this, and like I said, write all the dirty letters and talk to me later or whatever if you don't like it, because I'm not after your money. I'm after to help you. The tithe in the tithe means a tenth. Okay? That's what a tithe means. When God uses a word in there, tithe, it's a tenth. It's 10%. Okay? So let's just get that out of the way. God, you're not paying your tithe because God is extorting money from you. I've heard some people teach tithing like God's the extortioner. You're like, hey, pay me the money or else. I'll protect your business. If you don't pay me the tithe, the destroyer's coming to get you. And that's not right. That's not right. And I'll get into that in just a little bit in a minute. But you got to understand something. Tithing is like is a principle of God that works. But you have to understand it. And you have to not be manipulated by pastors who are wrong, churches who are wrong, denominations who are wrong. You have to not be manipulated by it. You have to understand what God's word says, okay? So nobody get nervous. Nobody's under condemnation here. I'm not preaching to any certain person. I'm trying to help you because we're in tough times and you need to know some answers. So go in your Bible to the book of Malachi. That's the last chapter in the Old Testament. If you find the book of Matthew in the New Testament, just turn one page back or two. And find Malachi chapter 3. And let me read this scripture to you. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor. Okay, I need to feel some love here. I don't want to feel any, you know. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouses that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Years ago, I was sitting in the HEB parking lot. And, you know, if you've been around me for any length of time, you know, I'm a little strange, and I'm okay with it. And, see, when I went through school, I didn't have anybody working with me like these girls are working over there in that school. And no one knew that I had dyslexia. And so they could never understand why I couldn't get my math problems right, why I always had the wrong answers and I was failing. And teachers were telling me that I was just stupid and wouldn't pay attention. And I just reverted into myself and I just didn't want to do anything. But a person took interest in me and began to explore my life, and it found out that I was great at memorizing things. And so in my craziness, I like to memorize things. So I was sitting in the HEB parking lot. My wife was inside shopping, and I was memorizing license plates as people drove through the parking lot because it gave me comfort. Like I said, I'm a little different. And so I was just sitting out there doing that, and the Spirit of God came into the truck with me and began to speak to me. And he was chastising me. And he said, you know, Robert, you stand up as pastor and you tell all the people in the church to tithe. Now, my wife and I have tithed We understood this principle years ago. We understood it. We've always tithed. But he said, you're standing up and asking the people to tithe, but what are you doing with the church? And I said, well, wait a minute, Lord, what are you talking about? We've always, this church, from the very beginning days that ever was formed in 1986, we took 10% of every offering, tithe and offering that was brought into the house. We took 10% and we put it in an outreach account. And that's what we did outreach with. And that's the way I was taught. That's how I learned from the pastor before me. And that's what we did. And we just kept doing it. And so every time we'd do a mission trip, or every time we wanted to build a house or put a roof on, well, I had this money sitting in the outreach account, and that's what we used. And God said, isn't that funny? Because you're asking them to freely give you, to give me, the Lord, the tithe, but then you're taking the tithe that comes into the house, and you're controlling it. And I said, well, what do you want me to do with it, Lord? He said, I want you to give it freely, just like they freely gave you. And I said, well, come on now, Lord, we do that, the whole outreach account will be destroyed. Where am I going to get the money to ever do any outreach? I mean, if I don't want to cut 10% off, immediately I began to think like this. And he said, do you trust me? And I said, well, you know, don't put me in that spot, Lord. Ask me a question like that. I mean, I have to say yes. And so I went to the board and told the board members, I said, look, guys, I've been challenged by the Spirit of God, and we have to do something here. And I explained to them what I just explained to you. And I said, here, we gotta do this. And so they said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we have to freely give away 10%, just like everybody else would give, wherever we're being fed. And so we agreed that the person in life, the ministry in life that was feeding this church the most was Ivan Tate. So we started at that day, destroyed the outreach account because we took the tithe of this church, 10% of everything brought in, and we gave it away. We sowed into another ministry. Well, so that left me no money in the outreach account. So I was like, okay, well, now what are we going to do? Because outreach is my heart, and we don't have any money. Instantaneously, God started to change things around. He started to bless us. I can tell you from that day till now, we've given and sown more money than we've ever sown in our lives out of the outreach account because the church has always been blessed. Okay? This principle of God in tithing, it works if you apply it correctly. But so many times people don't understand why you're tithing. So I'm going to give you right now, and you need to write this down because you need to figure out where you are, that there are four types of tithers. Okay? There's four types of tithers. The first type is the deceived tither. Okay? And again, y'all don't throw rocks at me. Just listen to the Spirit of God speak to you. The deceived tither, he gives money, but not 10%, but calls it a tithe. He gives money, but it's not 10%, but he calls it a tithe. In other words, if he's in church, he gives some money, and he says, well, I'm giving, and just kind of blocks out God in talking to him. He just says, no, I'm just block it out. I'm over here. This is what I want to do. I'm comfortable doing this. I give 20 here, 30 there, 40 there. I'm a generous person. Don't talk to me, Lord. Okay? Because he doesn't really understand that the offerings that he's giving is an offering. It's not a tithe. There's a difference. I'm going to explain that to you in just a minute, of offerings and tithes. The second tither, type of tither, is the reluctant tither. Okay? He gives, but he gives out of fear, not out of faith. He's giving because he said, everybody's always talking about tithing. We've got to give. And so then when you look at your financial reports or you look at your bank statements or you look at whatever, and you think, man, I'd have more money if I did a job and it was $1,000, and now, got to take off taxes, got to take off a tithe, got to take off this. And so I didn't really make but $600. Okay, they're really the reluctant tither. Because you're taking it off like it's a loss of income. instead of it's a covenant with God that is bringing you blessings. Malachi said it opens the windows of heaven. God pours out blessings on the tither. But the reluctant tither gives, but then sees it as a loss of money.
Well, the government's going to get, you know, 15%, and then this guy's going to, then I got to give God 10, that's 25% of everything. I lost a quarter of everything before I ever got started.
Reluctant tither. Okay? Y'all with me? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm glad that's not me. The third person, the third tither, is the controlling tither. In other words, they give and they tithe, but they really want to direct where their money goes because it makes them feel better. In other words, you have a tithe, but you would rather give it directed towards the orphanage because that made you feel like your money really did something than freely giving God a tithe, putting it in your into the offering plate and just giving it to Jesus. What's wrong is it's misdirected. See, the controlling tither doesn't trust that Jesus is going to do with his money because there's a pastor involved. I've heard stories and stories and stories and stories of pastors that people would come to them and they would have a lot of money that they were wanting to give to the church, but they didn't want it. They wanted to put it into a trust fund or do something with it because they didn't trust that the pastor would do something right with it or the church would do something right with it, and the church just couldn't handle that much money and da 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 da. Okay? In that case, it may have been true. But then why was the guy in that church? CW City came into this church. He walked into this church because the Spirit of God directed him to this church. And as he was directed to this church, he felt Jesus in the church. And he became a member of this church, not because he liked me, not because we have our air conditioning works better than other buildings, our chairs are softer than other chairs, not because our services are longer or shorter, or the music is just what he wanted. He came because the Spirit of God spoke to him inside of his heart that this is the house that he's supposed to be worshiping God in. See, folks, we forget about it. We think we have a choice. Listen to me. You probably have never heard a pastor say this before in his life. I don't want you here in church if you're not connected and want to be a part of this church. If you can't tell me God brought you here, you need to leave. God, I love you, but you're killing me. That's like going to a restaurant all the time, eating the food there, and you don't like the food there, and you complain about it all the time. Why go tell the waitress you don't like the food? I don't like the food here. I don't like the service here. But I come in here because it's convenient. I come in here because, you know, all my friends are here. Man, folks, the waitress is going to whip you. The cook is going to throw you out the front door. Y'all with me? Because I believe with all of my heart, and y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. Listen, I'm not on drugs. High on the Holy Ghost, but I ain't on drugs. What I'm telling you is that God has specific places. This church belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to me. Listen to me. I had a guy tell me one time, says, yeah, well, your church up there. I said, listen, it's not my church. He said, no, you own that church, right? I said, I don't own the church. What are you talking about? I own the church. We have a board. I can be fired. I can be driven out of town with pitchforks. I don't own this church. I'm the pastor of this church. Jesus put me into this church. He established me and put me here, but he's the head of the church. It's not me. I got to hear from him, and I have to answer to him for this church and the way this church is run. And I do that and take that responsibility with fear and trembling. Okay? I really am like an old bull being hot-shotted down a chute. Because God sometimes wants me to go in this direction, and I don't want to go because everything I know, then I have to answer for, and I don't really want that responsibility. And I'm kind of like dragging my feet, and I say, no, God, no, it's going to be more work. It's going to be more responsibility. I don't want to do that, Lord. No, and my feet are dragging. Shh. Because I know I have to answer for it, and I take it as a, I know I'm going to stand before Jesus, and to me, that is a huge responsibility. Sometimes people think I ought to move quicker, but listen to me. I ain't jumping out of the boat unless I know Jesus told me to jump out of the boat. But if I know I heard Jesus jump out of the boat, I'll be the first one out of the boat. Because you got to understand something. When you give your tithe, You're not giving it to me. You're giving it to Jesus. When you put your offerings, your tithe and offerings into that bucket, that thing is, you're doing it to Jesus. Your heart is supposed to be prepared when whoever's praying over the offering is praying. You're supposed to be preparing your heart to give it to Jesus. And the tithe is a free will offering of 10% of the fruits that you have labored for and you've got, and you are coming to honor God and say, Lord, here's what I've earned. God, thank you so much for everything you've given me in life. Thank you for that. You're my protector. I belong to you, Lord. And this is your offering going back into you. Thank you, Lord. That's your heart to give. That's your heart to sow the tithe. Hello? Okay. The controlling tither, what happens is the controlling tither feels better that his money went somewhere to a certain place that he thought was good. But wait a minute, who are you to be directing Jesus in what he does? Y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, I'm just preaching the good gospel to you here. I'm trying to help you to understand this, okay? Thank you. Thank you, brother. See, there's a man that goes to church here and he loves me. Okay, so the point is in the Old Testament, you can go back and you can study this, and I could give you tons of scriptures for this, okay? But it's not where I felt like we wanted to go this day, because I just wanted to talk to you. In the Old Testament, you can go look at it. God set up the Levitical priesthood. He had all the tribes of Israel. Every one of the tribes of Israel got a portion of land when they entered into the promised land, except the Levites. The Levites didn't get anything. The Levites were brought in to be God's servants in the house. Their job was to take care of the temple. They had no inheritance except God. All right? Y'all have to understand this, and I know y'all have heard me say this a million times. If I could not be a Levite, I would choose to be a Reubenite or a Josephite or a something. Being a Levite carries a responsibility with it that is, it's on one hand really awesome and amazing. On the other hand, it's very different. My life is not like a lot of people's lives. The Levite's life was not like everybody else's life. All right? No matter where my family goes, we're always involved in ministry. We don't even want it. We just end up there. My daughter's in California, and she just, somebody heard her sing, and they ended up, and then she was doing praise and worship at the church yesterday. And the guy just said, hey, listen, you lead this song out. She never sang on the stage before, never been in the church before, and now she's leading singing. Why? It's the anointing. It's the Levitical priesthood on our family that brings us to the front of ministry. I would rather just be some great. I'd rather have a gold mine. I just had to go see if all the little dwarfs were going down and digging the gold out and coming out. Or that was a silver mine, wasn't it? Diamond mine. There you go. There we go. Diamond mine would work. The point I'm trying to say is God still has a Levitical priesthood today on earth. He still has people called into the fivefold ministry. He still has churches set up. He still is doing his ministry. And the giving of the tithe is not to a person, is not to an entity. It's to Jesus. And then he distributes it as he wants for his church. Okay. The controlling tither wants to control the tithe, goes because it makes them feel better. We can't do that. Our heart has to be giving freely unto Jesus. Amen? Which brings me to the fourth tither. The fourth tither is the obedient tither. The fourth tither is the person that understands what I'm talking to you about today. The fourth tither, the obedient tither, understands when he puts his offering, his tithe into that plate, basket, whatever he's doing, he's got in his mind this. He knows it's his church. Listen to me. You're supposed to tithe and give where you're being fed. Okay? It's that simple. You say, where am I supposed to tithe to? Where you're being fed. Where, just like C.W. said, where the Spirit of God directs you. The church you go to, the place that you're a part of, what you're hooked into, the temple you worship at, however you want to look at it, that's where you tithe, where you're being fed. You give offerings and I'll get into that in a minute, every place that God brings up before you that you need to sow seed into so you can develop a harvest. Now listen to me. My wife and I, years ago, when kids are small, and we were heard a message just like I'm preaching to y'all today, and I was wanting to tithe, but we were on this budget. I made $358 every week as a carpenter. I made $5 an hour. And that was what we were living on. That's all we had. That was our income. Laura did a little babysitting here and there and whatever, but I was determined that she was going to be there for our children and raise the kids, and I would work two or three jobs or do whatever I had to do to get the money to live on because I wanted her at home with our children. And so, and that was our conviction, okay? So, we had a budget. It was a tight budget. But we never budgeted in tithing because I didn't know tithing. I didn't know the principle. Then all of a sudden, one day, boom, I get saved. I come to know Jesus. I read the Bible. I come up and say, wait. Nobody ever told me about this because the church I went to didn't teach tithing. Well, I was raised in. Okay? So I was like, wait, what about this? And I went through the Bible and I found what I'm preaching to y'all today. And I was like, holy cow, I didn't know this. So I told Laura, I said, man, we got to tithe. She said, we don't have the money in the budget. Well, there's no way. If we give the $35.80, we're not going to have food. Now, that's a tough choice when you're putting food or giving, you know. It seems crazy. And I remember going through the whole same wrestlings in my life of saying, oh, my God, I'm going to be $35 short. Rather than understanding that by faith, I was entering into a covenant and a contract with God that he was going to make things work out. And I so remember, and I remember it was $20 that we needed to tithe at that day. Then this came to me, and we looked at each other, we talked, and we said, well, do we believe the Bible's true? I mean, the Bible's true. And nobody was preaching this to me. I was getting it out of the Word. And I said, well, we know the Bible's true. We know the Bible. We went through this whole deal, and I said, well, I don't know what to do, but I want to follow the Word. So we prayed, and we wrote out the $20 check, put it in an envelope, prayed over it. I mean, we desperately prayed. You got to understand something, church. It wasn't like, oh, thank you, Jesus. There was no lay me down to sleep prayer. It was like, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I think you're doing something. Ah! I mean, it was everything I could work up of every emotion, spit flying the whole nine yards, you know. It was a prayer. And so we prayed over that $20, and we committed it. We put it in her purse because this was on a Saturday. Put it in her purse and said, okay, Sunday it goes into the plate, you know, no turning back. We're in. We're all in. And so knowing that I wasn't going to work on Sunday and, you know, just believe in God for a miracle or whatever. So she goes and gets the mail, and she gets the mail, she comes back and she's crying. And I said, ooh, that's bad. That's bad. My Lord, what happened now? I got a big bill or something. Oh my God, she's crying. She says, you got to see this. And it was a card, you know, like a Hallmark card, and in it, when I opened it up, $20 bill fell out. And in it, it says, I love you, keep going, Jesus. Now, I know Jesus did not send $20 from heaven down. God is not a counterfeiter. But he had put on somebody's heart previous, because you got to understand the timing of this. I was doing this on a Saturday, so that means, you know, the way the mail service goes, probably Wednesday or Thursday, God had to put on somebody's heart to do this, and then they had to go be obedient to go down and do the whole nine yards, and then, you know, da-da-da-da, in order to make the timing there that letter came into my hands at that exact moment. All I'm saying is God already foreknew that I was going to give that tithe or whatever, and they, already the blessings of the windows of heaven are starting to open up and come into my life, but there was my $20. So we tithe, and then I'm back even. See what I'm saying? So now I'm excited because I understand God's principle worked. Folks, listen to me. The principles of God always work. You've got to get this down in your heart. The principles of God always work, but it is if you have a revelation of that principle. You can argue with me all day about tithing. I have people all the time talking to me about, well, do I tithe on the gross? Do I tithe on the net? Do I tithe on this? Do I tithe on that? What about this money? Tithe on this? Look, go sort it out yourself. I'm not here to be your financier and talk about all this kind of stuff. I can go with you and we can talk and discuss it and you can see, but you know, people, I'm just telling you, if you honor God with 10% of the fruit that comes into your life, you honor God, I want to tell you something. You're going to see the windows of heaven open up and pour out of blessings that you cannot contain. That's what his word says. It's the only place in the Bible you can find where God says, prove me. It's the only place you can find where God says, prove me. Okay? So, if you're in those four categories, hopefully you're the obedient tither. I want to tell you something. Then you're set about to enter into the next thing I want to talk about. The next thing I'm going to talk about to you, I hate to tell you, is not going to work in your life if you don't already have the covenant of tithing down in your life. Listen to me. Because of the life I live and the things that go on, I have all kinds of crazy money things happen. At times, like y'all saw about the Living Waters house, you know, $14,000 we need there to get that going. Well, I take it on myself. It's my responsibility. I'm praying for it. I'm believing for it. I'm asking y'all to help and to do whatever, but I'm believing God for it. I'm standing there good. But in business, I have all kinds of things happening, okay? And sometimes in life, things don't look good. And you know what I do? I step up. I pull up my pants and say, you know what, Lord? I'm in covenant with you. Whoo! Glory to God. I thank you. I'm a tither. I give, and you said the windows of heaven have to open up and pour out of blessings which cannot contain. My faith is in you, Lord. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what this is going to look like down the road, but I just thank you. I know I have to be blessed.
He said, well, you're crazy. Times are hard. Things aren't going good.
You can be that way if you want to, but I'm over here. I'm over here standing in this. You know why? Because I have been on the other side. I've been over there. I mean, you can go get out in the dumps you want to and drag your old bottom lip through the dirt. It just don't taste good. I'm over there doing the march and say, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing he cannot do. Jesus said, speak to the mountains. I look at the mountains of problems and I say, get out of my way. What do you think you're going to do? You're not going to overcome me. You're not going to defeat me. What are you talking about? Folks, you got to get crazy sometimes to get your head on straight. You got to go march around your yard, march around your porch, tell your dog, preach to your dogs. You got to get radical. If you just sit there, this world will suck you into the vortex of doubt and unbelief and doom and gloom and woe is me, and you will be sucked down that vortex, ground up and spit out the other end like a meat grinder. So what'll happen if you just stay there and you don't get into the Word of God? You have got to understand, it gives me great assurance to know this. Now, I want y'all to understand something. I have tested the principles of tithing. I already told you about my family life, but I have taken my business, different businesses that I have, and I have taken them, and I have purposely not tithed. I said, well, you said, prove me, Lord. I have purposely not tithed. I said, I want to document this. So I'd quit tithing. I had some money come in, don't tithe on it. So I ain't going to tithe on it. Heaven, I know it. I know what's going on. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to tithe, Lord. Let's just see what it'll do. Nothing happens. No sales, no anything. I'll let it go a couple of months. Nothing going on, nothing happening. Couldn't get rid of nothing. And I said, okay, now but it's time. Instantly take the money from that tithe, go give it, kaboom. I can't even keep up with the sales. I'm a hard-headed man. I didn't try it once. I didn't try it twice. I've done it three times last year just to see what would happen. He said, prove him. I proved him. You see what I'm saying, church? I'm telling you from a heart of knowing what works. I don't have to struggle with finances. I, though, sometimes get caught up and worried because, dadgum, I listen to too many, you know, naysayers, and it gets to naysaying in me. And that's why I tell you, that's why I just go buy shells and more guns, because then it's like, I don't know what else to do. Okay? What I'm trying to say is that I've listened to the naysayers. As soon as I listen to the Word of God and remember my covenant with Him, it gives me great assurance and great faith, and I see God turn everything around. Amen? Okay. So that's tithing. I want to just touch on this because of time here. We're going to run out of time because I don't want to just give up on this. I want to pound this in you till you can get it. Okay? The third principle that you have to learn. Okay, the first principle is God's a giver. He has a giving nature. The second principle is that you have to understand tithing. And the third principle is you have to understand sowing and giving offerings. If you're going to really walk in prosperity, you have to understand sowing and giving offerings. Now, in sowing and giving offerings, there's three things. I mean, I'm into threes today, if y'all hadn't noticed that. Three things you really have to grab hold of, okay? Which is this: obedience, faith, and love. It's your three standard principles of giving offerings. Now listen to me. There is a million good works going on in the world. Whether you know it or not, there are good preachers elsewhere. There are good works elsewhere. There are people doing good things, different things than what we do with rescue orphans and the ministry we have around here in the church and everything else. There are people doing good things. There are other good works going on, all right? But the key is in life is you have to be obedient to do what Jesus asks you to do. If you're not obedient to do what he does because you're just doing your own thing, you're not going to see any results. You're not going to see any fruit from your offerings. You're going to have harvest scattered around everywhere. You're going to have seed sowed in all different places of the world, but you forgot where they were. You're not going to have a harvest growing with a nice rose, all nice and cultivated and got all the Johnson grass out of it and the sunflowers, and it's all pretty because you've just been throwing seed everywhere because you're doing what you want to do when Jesus wants you to be obedient, okay? Let me give you this scripture, and then we'll close up here. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Luke chapter 5. It says, so it was that as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. Now when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, listen, you got to understand, they had sat there and washed the net. It's clean. They put everything up. They're ready to go home and kick their feet up and relax. And now Jesus is telling them to get them dirty again. That took some faith. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Here you go, right here. Got to grab this. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless. At your word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down. In other words, he said, we've been fishing all night. We ain't caught nothing. But if you say to let down the net, I'll let down the net. And then you can read the rest of the story. They caught a great abundance. Folks, you got to understand obedience. Don't throw anything, but your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. The price of the blood of Jesus. You may not have read the fine print. The fine print on your contract says, you don't go to hell. You get forgiven of your sins. You get eternal life. And I get your life. It's in the fine print if you didn't read it in the contract when you got saved. Y'all all got your copy of the contract, right? It's called the Word of God. Are y'all with me? The problem, the struggle in life is that we're still in control of our life. We're doing what we want to do rather than be obedient to do what Jesus asked us to do. We wonder why it doesn't work. We wonder why we give and we sow and things happen and we do this and we don't see victory. It's because we're not being obedient to do what he asked us to do anyway. Because we say, well, I don't want to do it because it ain't going to be no fun. That ain't what I want to do. When the bottom line is, Jesus really asks you, never asks you to do anything that you're not able to do that's in your heart. You just don't really want to release it. The Bible says God knows your heart. He knows you. He knows everything that your desire and your likes and your wishes. So do you think he just looks at it and says, let's just torment them. Let's just see if we can really put the screws to them and hurt them. No, you're going to do inside of you what is by nature you're capable of doing. God's not going to ask you to do something, you know. That you're not able to do. Y'all know Cirque du Soleil, you know, that thing that's on TV where all them people flying around all over and stuff like that? I don't have to worry about it. God's never going to call me to be a part of that. They don't even make leotards that fit me. What a sight. God probably is never going to call me to be a ninja. Are y'all with me? See, either I'm being silly about this, but I'm saying I can't do it. It's not possible. He would probably never call me into the medical field. I don't do well around, you know, blood and that kind of stuff. I'd rather it be yours than mine. But, you know, it's just not, I mean, I can deal with it, but usually I'm praying in tongues so loud when that's happening and shouting the word of God at that situation that nobody needs me around that. I'm not very calm at doing it. Let's put it that way. Because I'm saying, oh my God, in the name of Jesus. So that's not something you want me to do. I would probably not be good at, on a bomb squad. I don't have much patience. Like, cut a wire and let's go. You know? So what I'm saying to you is that some of the things that are our fears are just ridiculous because God's not going to do that. We got to understand obedience to God's word. God wants us to be obedient. He will speak to us. He spoke to CW. CW out there working on his car and God's speaking to him. How's God speaking to him? You hear a booming voice? See big lightning bolt? You see it written in the clouds? He said, no, it's right on the inside of him. That still small voice working on the inside. Saying, you need to go to that church. 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 Was he perfect? No. Was he? You know, in the middle of worship when he was hearing that voice and he was only, you know, he was in there just under, he was out there working on his truck. See, listen to me. I'll take somebody, and don't get mad at me. I'll take somebody that can hear God's voice while they're working on their truck over somebody that had to go to a worship service to hear God any day. Because when I'm in a trouble, I want somebody that can hear God day in and day out, anytime, anything going on. I don't need somebody can hear God when everything's perfect. Well, I haven't prayed quite long enough this morning, Pastor. I'm not sure what God would want to do. I need somebody that can make a decision. Hear God, know God, see God. Oh, taste and see. Know what that pie tastes like. Are y'all following me here? You got to be obedient. And if you're in disobedience, I'm going to tell you something. You are not going to see fruit from God. So I said, I wanted CW to give that testimony this morning because he heard God. He was obedient to God. He found Jesus when he was in obedience and he found the place where he was supposed to be. And if that's not you, I'm telling you, then why be here? Why be disobedient? If you don't like orphans, you don't like kids, you don't like Guatemalans, then why are you giving? But that's not something that touches your heart. If you don't like Brother Ivan, then why? Why come and just say, give on some money out there, take some money out there. I don't need that. Listen, you're just causing a disagreement. I need agreement. You're causing a disagreement. I don't need to hear the gripes and the complaints. Hello? I want agreement. Ernie, what would you do if somebody came down there to eat your barbecue and just sat there at the dinner and said, I don't know why I come down here and eat your barbecue. Man, you got the worst brisket there was. You got the worst ribs there was. Chicken's terrible. I don't know why I want to eat that. What would you say to them? We're in church. You'd tell them to go somewhere else, wouldn't you?
Raise the price. There you go.
For you, this plate will be $56. Now, let's take this and flip it, okay? To Peter, what they do, they caught a great catch. To Peter, they knew that he knew he was in the right place. When he saw Jesus at that moment, and if you read on down to the end of it, he said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. In other words, he's convicted of his sins. Peter got out of that boat and he followed Jesus for the rest of his life. Y'all with me? Follow Jesus for the rest of his life. The point is, when we walk in obedience with Jesus, we're going to see the blessings and we want to do what he tells us to do. And we want to get connected. We want to be a part. We want to lock in. And nothing can offend us. And nothing can. You know, Peter wasn't mad. He said, okay, well, we caught a big bunch of fish, but now we got to clean the nets again. Y'all with me? He was excited for the catch. He didn't care they had to stay up later and clean the nets. He might have caught so many fish that he just paid somebody to go clean the nets. There you go. You follow what I'm saying here, church? We have to be in obedience in our giving and obedience to what Jesus is telling us to do, because then you find success. I have one more thing to say, and then I'm through. I'm going to close this up. I was just talking to Bob about and showing the picture of the aquaponics, and we had the whole food plate of food down there that all came from the aquaponics. And when I saw that, I got so excited. It was like, holy cow. Just excitement came in front of me that everything on that plate had been grown in our own garden, our own aquaponics deal. And one of these days, not too long from now, I'm going to eat a big old tilapia on my plate. All right? That came out of our own fish tank with all of our vegetables and everything on there. All right? It excited me to see something come about and life come about and come in there, but it all came about and it would not have come about if there wouldn't have been obedience. We talked about it. We thought about it. We thought it was a good idea. We looked at this. We looked at that. We looked at over here. We did this. But if there wouldn't have been obedience in every person's part, we wouldn't have had victory at the end of the thing. Y'all with me? Obedience always brings blessing. And you can be obedient to anything you know Jesus has spoke to you about. If you're like CW, if you know Jesus is talking to you and you heard him, folks, you can relax. You're in the driver's seat and you're just coasting and he's taking care of it. He's taking care of it. There's no need to get upset. There's no need to worry. Have y'all seen this? They've talked about having cars on the road that drive themselves. How does that make you feel? I mean, I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of me getting in, putting on a seatbelt, and the car is going to go take me where it wants to go, and it's going to be doing the driving. What if I don't like the way it's driving?
You say, oh, no, it'll be driving right. You just have to submit to the car.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem like that is something I want to put myself into. But with Jesus, you don't have that worry. When you sit down in the seat and he's driving and you're being obedient, there's peace. It's smooth. It's easy. It's good. It's It's just flowing down the flow. Amen? Well, talked about chocolate pie. Talked about coconut cream. I just wonder what's going to happen this afternoon. By the way, we're selling pie over now. Amen? Y'all still love me? If you do, wave at me. Say, yeah, Pastor, we still love you. Okay, got a few hands. Thank God. Well, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down? Church, I love you. And I want to see every one of y'all successful. I want to see every one of y'all walking in victory. I want to see every one of y'all and your finances blessed and your jobs blessed and your retirements blessed and your whatever you're doing, just blessed. But I told you the keys this morning to it. Now, my biggest prayer for y'all this morning, for all of y'all this morning, is that you can know in your heart that you're in the place you're supposed to be. Amen. I want to look at your faces and know that you're here because you believe this is a place you're supposed to be. And I don't believe next week there won't be anybody here. That y'all all go home and pray and then nobody shows up. That would be very mean to me if you did do that. Or stayed outside, you know, and didn't come in. And then walked in. Said, surprise. Church, I just know God's principles work. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, God's principles do work. So grab that person's hand beside you and I'm going to pray over you. Father, I just declare right now today that this message is soaked into people's hearts. It's touched their lives. Bless them today. That any place there was a hindrance, any place there was an area of their lives that they weren't being obedient in, Lord, I thank you that they heard from you today and that Jesus, you'll lead them and you'll direct them and you'll put them in the right place. Lord, I just ask today that you move in our lives in such a way that we walk with you and we see fruit and we see victory and we see joy and we see peace. And Lord, we just give you all the praise for it. Now, Holy Ghost, as we leave this building today and we go out into the world, I know we're going to run across people that need to know about you, that need to be touched by you, that need to be blessed by you. And Lord, I just thank you for giving us the words, giving us the ability to just continually lift you up in all things that are going on, to help them, direct them. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. Now, bless that one on our left and our right today, Lord. Lord, just give us the greatest week of our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, if you need prayer, we're up here for you. We'll agree with you and see God move in your lives. God bless.